This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
They cannot fast according to Saudi Arabia. I am not following Saudi Arabia. Unfortunately, some scholars, they start giving fatwas. They pour fuel into the fire. Part of our ibadah is to support our brothers and sisters in Gaza. And that's why they are using statements. Extremists are taking over London. They want to ban MCB. Yeah? Forget about democracy, forget about human rights, freedom, rule of law, all of the British values, if using British values, work against our interests.
We're the ones who are pushing the agenda for everyone at the end of the day.
We are working for the entire society, not just the Muslim community. And this is my appeal to all the du'at. I want this Ramadan to be a different Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to all our dear viewers. Welcome to this episode of Unscripted with me, Salman. Umar Suleiman. I've managed to finally get rid of Dr. Salman and get back on here. But alhamdulillah, we have our dear Sheikh, Sheikh Haytham. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, brother. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. May Allah accept it from you. I understood that you are in Mecca right now. Is that true?
Alhamdulillah, Sheikh. Yes, I got here in the morning. I performed my Umrah earlier this morning, and now the Haram's behind me. So, yes, Alhamdulillah, all is well here, Sheikh.
Accepted. Okay, make sure that you are for us and for the Muslim Ummah and for everyone.
Definitely, Sheikh. We'll continue to do so. So we don't have much time. We're going to jump straight into it, Sheikh. And maybe it's... here in Makkah, and I guess the first question I'm going to ask you, Sheikh, is alhamdulillah, we are on the cusp of Ramadan. May Allah Azzawajal allow us to see it. And typically, well, let's see, Ramadan, when it begins, the moon is going to be sighted. And normally what comes with this is a discussion, where has the moon been sighted? Who's it been sighted by? Has it been sighted here in Saudi? Come on, Sheikh, like, why do we have to do this every year? Local moon sighting, central moon sighting, please help us, Sheikh.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. We can look at this matter from two angles. From one angle that, okay, the Muslim Ummah is unable to resolve this matter. But we can look at it from the other side, which is the positive side. I always like to look at the positive side of any incident or any matter in front of us. That, okay, there is, alhamdulillah, a discussion among the Muslim Ummah, and the Muslim Ummah is not sleeping. The Muslim Ummah is actually concerned about this matter. So that's why there is a debate. As you know that we don't have khilafah, so we don't have a single representation for the Muslim Ummah, and that's why there is no single authority that can decide on such matters. And therefore, it is natural to see different views, the disagreements between the Ummah. Now, just to fast forward to get into the point, in the West, I have declared my position, which is, I believe, the Islamic position, not my interpretation of the Islamic position. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, As-sawmu yawma tasawmun, wal-fitru yawma tufturun, wal-adha yawma tubahun. Hadith Abi Huraira, authentic hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Al-Tirmidhi actually commented on this hadith, and he said, according to this, the people of knowledge acted. They acted upon this hadith, which means that you start your fast when the majority or the ummah around you fast. You stop fasting when the Muslims stop fasting. The day of sacrifice is the day Muslims decide that this is the day of sacrifice. Obviously, Muslims will not choose the completely the wrong day. They will choose a day that is possibly to be the day of the beginning of Ramadan or the beginning of the month of Shawwal, which marks the end of Ramadan. This hadith, and At-Tirmidhi said that the people of knowledge acted upon this hadith. This hadith will resolve the matter. But it is very unfortunate that many scholars are not listening to this hadith, and they look at the matter from their from a narrow angle, from their point of view, and they are ignoring this hadith. Okay, I said, if the Muslim community in the UK decided upon a day whether their decision was based on the local moon sighting, the global moon sighting, the nearest country, the calculation, whatever. Okay, if most of Muslims accepted one of those criteria, we should go for it. And that's why in many years, not last year, the year before, and the year before that even, in 2 or 3 years, I gave fatwa to the people, to the Dutch brothers, the German brothers, and the Turkish brothers. The Turkish brothers, I have given them many fatwas throughout number of years that they have to follow Diyanet, okay, the decision of Diyanet, which is the authority, the Islamic authority in their country. They cannot fast according to Saudi Arabia. They cannot stop fasting according to Saudi Arabia. I made it clear to them in numerous occasions. And as I said, 2 years ago and 3 years ago, I made it clear to the brothers in Holland, go with the majority in your country. If most of them went for the viewpoint of Diyanet, okay, which is the Turkish authorities, because they have a big number of Turkish community in the Netherlands, go for that. Similarly, the situation in Germany. So this is the point. Look at the majority in your country. What do they do? Okay, do they follow the moon sighting, the local moon sighting? Just do it. Do they follow Saudi Arabia? Follow it. Do they follow Morocco? Follow it. Do they follow Turkey? Follow it. Do they follow calculation? Do it. But the vast majority, it is not the time to discuss this matter in details. I have mentioned or I have written about it a lot. I have challenged all the brothers who have different views to substantiate their view. I said to them, if you go to a country, for example, the brothers who travel from the UK to Pakistan, in Pakistan, what do you do? Do you follow the local Pakistan decision, or you fast according to Saudi Arabia, or you fast according to Britain? It is the consensus of all scholars. You follow what? The people in your country. Similarly, it is the situation here. Follow the people in your country. None of the scholars I came across allowed two Eids to be established in one city or in one country. Now, if we cannot establish two Eids, then what does that mean? Go with the majority. Okay? That's it. As simple as that. Now, I don't want to keep discussing this matter, brother Omar. And when people, by the way, when people say, what about moon sighting? I said, yes. We need to, let us understand it like this. The lay people and the people of authority. The people of authority, they should what? They should fast according to the moon sighting. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam said what? Said, صُومُ لِرُؤْيَتِهِ وَأَفْطِرُوا لِرُؤْيَتِهِ. This is the general rule. The lay people, the masses, they should follow the people of authority. Now, if the people of authority, for whatever reason, they did not follow the moon sighting, they followed the global moon sighting, They followed the local moon sighting. They followed the calculation. They followed the nearest country because the local moon sighting is not possible. Then we have to follow the people of authority in our country. Now, if there is no single authority in our country, then the vast majority of Muslims in the country stand for what? Stand as a replacement for the people of authority in the country. Wallahi, if we apply this formula, it will be so easy. Unfortunately, some scholars, they start giving fatwas against this and they pour fuel, okay, into the fire. Yeah, I don't want to name any, but even some fatwa committees, they decide for the moon or the beginning of Ramadan, maybe a month before Ramadan. This, okay, even if it is against the sunnah of the Prophet, I don't want to go into that. But that goes definitely against what? Fast when you all fast, stop fasting when you all stop fasting. This goes against the well-established principle that the vast majority of the Ummah agreed upon. Had the scholars been mature to discuss it like this, okay, and to advise people, just follow the majority of Muslims in your country, I think this disagreement will be resolved. However, please, Umar, okay, we have other important things.
As you see, obviously, Sheikh, I was itching to say something.
I stopped discussing it, but this is, as you ask, this is just the clarification of my viewpoint, because some people think that I'm just blindly following Saudi Arabia. I am not following Saudi Arabia. I am following the majority of Muslims in the UK. And so far, the majority of Muslims in the UK, they follow the moon sighting of Mecca. Hence, I am following that. That's it. If I was in Turkey, as I have said, I will follow Turkey and I will not follow Saudi Arabia. If I was in Oman, I will follow Oman. I'm mentioning those countries that normally have different viewpoints. If I am in Pakistan, I will follow Pakistan. If I am in Morocco, I will follow Morocco. That's it. Simple. Jazakallah khair. Sheikh, let us move to the second question.
I will move on to the next question, inshallah. But just, I'm not talking about moon sighting here, Sheikh. I'm just saying generally, Sheikh. You know, something's become a self-fulfilling prophecy, though. You see, alhamdulillah, you've always been an agent of change. And so if you allow things to be the way they've always been.
And unity.
They will always continue to be, huh, Sheikh?
Yeah, did you get my point? I'm an agent of change and unity, okay?
Agent of change and unity, yes, Sheikh. Yes, alhamdulillah.
Because
okay.
if we follow that criteria, wallahi, we will see more unity within the Muslim community here and in the Ummah at large. Yes.
Jazakallah khair. Okay, the key lesson I'm taking from that is if we do want change, we need to do it in a unified way. Alhamdulillah. Okay, Sheikh. People can stop you in the street and ask you your opinion further if they want to a moon sighting and whether vinegar is halal. These are two questions that Sheikh loves answering. So anytime if you see Sheikh, alhamdulillah. Okay, so onto something perhaps a little bit more serious in nature, Sheikh. Look, Ramadan is very much upon us. The language of welcoming, almost celebrating Ramadan. Yet at the same time, what's happening in Gaza is still very much at the front of our minds. People are going into Ramadan. How do we navigate this, Sheikh? At the same time, this balance between worrying about what's happening there and then kind of being self-absorbed in Ramadan in your personal ibadah. Sheikh.
Yeah, okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a good question. See, to be honest with you, we need to understand the true meaning of ibadah and the true meaning of our purpose in this life. The true meaning of ibadah is, as many scholars stated, and they have extracted this meaning from the verse, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِذَا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I created jinn and ins for one purpose, which is to worship me, to worship Allah Jalla A'la. Now, this, if Allah Jalla A'la says you have one job to do, which is worshipping me, this means that Allah Jalla A'la wants us to do everything for him. Okay, this means that the entire life of the Muslim should be what? Should be an act of ibadah, or should be acts of ibadah, because he said, I created you, okay, to worship me. So you have no other thing to do except to worship Allah Jalla wa'ala. Now, this means that our eating, our playing, our marriages, our businesses, okay, all of this should be considered to be as acts of ibadat. Let us not think that acts of ibadat include fasting, include going to the masjid for prayer, giving a charity, making dhikr of Allah Jalla wa'ala, that's it. No. These are the main and the listed ibadat. These are the five pillars of Islam and the listed, regulated ibadat that we cannot change. But life is not limited to those ibadat. And hence, my dear brothers and sisters, during the month of Ramadan, if there is any ibadah that is required from us at that time, we should do it. Okay. Now, in normal circumstances, the main ibadah that is required from us is to fast. And then at night is to do Qiyamul Layl. Yeah. During that, between, to do recitation of Quran. Okay. And so on. However, let me just mention a simple example. Imagine if there is a person who doesn't have that much income, he cannot take a holiday during the month of Ramadan. He has to work in order to provide for his family. Okay, let us take another example. The wife at home, yeah, the family, they need to eat and drink. They need to break their fast. They need to make sahur. Who is going to prepare the food for them? It is the wife. Now, can the wife say that, oh, listen, I want to do my ibadah. I don't want to prepare the food for you because I want to focus on my fasting, my dhikr, my salah, etc. Can she do that? No, she cannot do that. And we say that actually, my dear sister, my dear mother, your part of your ibadah is to prepare the food. The father, part of your ibadah is to work to bring money to the family, okay, to sustain the family. We say to the children, part of your ibadah is to support your parents. So this is part of ibadah. Now, when there is a need for other types of ibadat, okay, other than working, then there is a need for that. Imagine, in a Muslim country, a policeman, the police has to work in order to maintain security. So that policing is considered to be an act of ibadah. Okay. Yes. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam implemented this in the best form of it. That's why in the second year of al-Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wasallam carried out the battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr took place in 17th of Ramadan, in the middle of Ramadan, which means that a few days before the Battle of Badr, the Sahaba were going to meet the caravan of Quraysh. And then after that, they have to come back, which means that they got into the 10, the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Yeah. Okay. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wa sallam was forced to choose that time. And then when he was forced to do it, he did it to the best of his ability. He didn't say, well, this jihad and going to, going for the caravan of Quraysh, this is not an act of ibadah. I need to stay in the masjid. I need to do my dhikr. I need to do my salah. He didn't do that. Okay. So we need to observe the context in order to what? In order to know the best ibadah that we need to do in a particular context. Hence, if during the month of Ramadan, we need to support our brothers and sisters in Gaza in different ways. Maybe we need to raise funds for them. Yeah, this is an act of ibadah because it is, as we said, the Prophet ﷺ did not just stay in his home. He went for this expedition. Not only, by the way, in the second year of Al-Hijrah, but also in the ninth year of Al-Hijrah when he opened Mecca. Okay, so these are considered to be acts of ibadah. And hence for us, at this time, part of our ibadah, yes, brothers and sisters, let me clarify this. Part of our ibadah is to support our brothers and sisters in Gaza. We need how to learn how to support them. Yeah. And different people support them in different ways. But this is part of our ibadah during this month of Ramadan.
Sheikh, one thing is clearly supporting them. But some people, so one is supporting Gaza, but the other way is benefiting from Ramadan. What advice do you give those people who are feeling a little despondent that everything that's happening and it's starting after such a prolonged amount of time, nothing's changing, it's only got worse. And so the normal vigor with which they'd enter Ramadan, making dua, begging of Allah Azza wa Jal, they're feeling a bit broken and, you know, perhaps not mentally as well balanced as they would be normally. So what advice would you give to them?
Yeah, first of all, just maybe as a continuation for the previous question, I said part of our ibadah during this month of Ramadan is to do whatever we can do to support our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Gaza in particular, and different people support in different ways. The general elections, the general election is coming, and maybe we need to do something during the month of Ramadan in order to be ready for the general election, because we know that it can make a difference. Okay, whoever we choose to be in power does make a difference for Muslims in the UK. Now, maybe minor difference, major difference, but it does make a difference, and we need this difference to be in our favor as Muslims. Okay, and we need to choose the right people to be in power. This will be part of our ibadah. Now, having said that, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, I strongly believe that if we manage our time, we can achieve a lot in terms of the activities that we can do during the month of Ramadan, whether for the listed ibadat, which is fasting, the recitation of Quran, giving sadaqah, dhikr, focusing on our salah, night prayer, okay, and the other connected listed ibadat to those ibadat, I believe with some time management, we can achieve a lot during those days of the blessed month of Ramadan. Now, going back to your point now, which is that people feel disheartened, people feel low down because the war took long time, and as some people say, it is getting worse and worse. See, this is, maybe it is not the time to discuss this in details, but there are number of reasons for this feeling. Some of those reasons are related to our understanding of what is required from us. Okay, so you can say it is a theological reason. Some of those reasons are related to our understanding of the dynamic of change. Okay, maybe they are social, political reasons. Now, regarding the, and there are many other reasons, as I said, because of time, let us just maybe mention the key reasons here. The what is required from us, brothers and sisters, what is required from us is to do, not to see. Okay? What is required from us is to do. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. Allah Jalla wa'ala said, your pursuit will be seen. Your work, your effort will be seen. That, your effort, is the criteria that Allah Jalla wa'ala judges you according to. Okay? You will be judged by Allah according to what? Not according to the outcome you achieved. Not according to the goals you achieved. Not according to the results. Allah Jalla wa'ala will judge you according to the effort you have put along with your intention. Two things. Your intention and your effort. The outcome is not a criteria of judgment, generally speaking. Okay. Now, we all know Nuh alayhi salam. Allah Jalla wa'ala says about Nuh alayhi salam, فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. He continued giving da'wah for 950 years. How many people accepted da'wah? Yeah, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Only few people accepted his da'wah for 950 years. وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Only few people accept Islam. Yeah? Now, does that mean that Nuh alayhi salam will be punished by Allah Jalla wa'ala? Astaghfirullah. Does that mean that Nuh alayhi salam failed? Does that mean that Allah Jalla wa'ala, that Nuh alayhi salam did not do what Allah Jalla wa'ala wanted him to do? No, of course not. Yeah? Because Nuh alayhi salam, in Surah Nuh, yeah, he described the way he gave them da'wah. Okay, da'awtu qawmi laylan wa nahara, day and night, yeah, and thumma a'lantu lahum wa asrartu lahum israra. I made it open, I made it private. He tried his best way to convey the da'wah to them. Now, very few people. Imagine, this is really frustrating. Imagine, if we give, not 950 years, just think about it, brothers. Yeah? We've been, you know, this invasion of Gaza has been there for a few months, not a few years. Yeah? We've been giving da'wah for a few years, not 950 years, and just a few people to accept Islam. So we have, okay, this is, so from a theological perspective, this is the criteria. This is what is required from us. And that's why also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, one dirham of sadaqah may be better than 100,000 of dirhams of sadaqah. How is that? A person has two dirhams. What is his effort? He gave one of them. So he put the maximum effort, which is what? He gave 50% of his wealth as sadaqah. Yeah? And the other person, he's very rich. He just took, okay, from his money. No effort, no real sacrifice. But the outcome is bigger. Allah Jalla Ala said, no. The effort of the poor person who has two dirhams is better than the effort of this person. That's why on top of this, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if the day of resurrection is about to start and you have a plant, what to do? Are you going to throw it and say, oh, who is going to benefit from it? No one is going to benefit from it. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is as if he said, this is not your job to ask who is going to benefit from it. Just what? Plant it. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the other point, sorry, Omar. Hysterically, this global conflict cannot be resolved in 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Yeah? The siege of Belgrade, is it Belgrade? The siege of Belgrade, yes. How long that continued? For 3 years? Yeah? Look, in history, there are so many sieges that, in fact, look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the siege of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in that area, Shu'b bin Amir. How long that continued for? 3 years. 3 years. Until what happened? The Prophet with the companions, this is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with the companions, used to eat what? Yeah? The leaf of the trees. One of them, there was one narration that he found a skin, a piece of skin, and thrown, and he washed it and he ate it because of hunger. So brothers, no need to feel down, no need to feel low. It means that you are not actually interested to work, you are interested to see. You are not interested to do, but you are interested to see. Obviously, we are human beings, we are weak, we need to keep reminding ourselves that, no, keep going, keep going, keep going. And see, if you look at the Quran linked victory to what? To sabr. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Yeah? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. The sabr along with taqwa. Yeah, sabr means, okay, be patient, be patient, be patient. Okay? Then victory will come. Yeah.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Patience and perseverance, for sure. I mean, coming closer to home also, Sheikh, I guess, connected to that, but patience and perseverance is, there's been a lot of discussion with regards to Islamophobia and Parliament. And this issue seems to be on the rise in the UK. Every other group seems to be taken care of, but when it comes to Muslims, it's, open season. How should we navigate this or understand this, Sheikh?
It is very evident that the elite and many politicians are demonstrating Islamophobic attitude. And, the way I see this, is that the establishment, the establishment that is represented by some politicians, whether the Tory party, whether the Labour party, normally the establishment is there and it is influencing the key players within each party. So the establishment and the those who are representing the establishment, they are unable to digest the fact that Muslims became part and parcel of this country. Which Muslims? Muslims who will say to them no. Muslims who will oppose their agenda. They are unable to fathom this. They are welcoming Muslims if the Muslims continue to be the old yes sir man that they have quote unquote imported from the subcontinent in order to serve them, to work for them, to fix their country or to rebuild their country. This is in their mind, okay? To rebuild their country, of course, to rebuild also the subcontinent, to the European continent after the Second World War. So in their subconscious, we imported those people to our, our country, and it is our country, it belongs to us. And then now, those, their children, they claim that it is their country, and they have a say in it, in running it, in setting the external policies or the internal policies. They cannot understand this. They cannot digest this. And of course, generally speaking, the establishment in any country, they don't want anyone to say no to them, to oppose them. That's why the war on Gaza have created a global shock, whether in the global system or globally in different Western countries, because the masses are coming in millions to oppose the policies of the establishment or the establishments in their countries. So the establishments are unable to digest that. And they felt, when, especially in Britain, that, look, these demonstrations where hundreds of thousands of people go and they are discovering the fallacy, the hypocrisy of our establishment. We cannot let this to continue. And they, and that's why they are using statements that, extremists are taking over the streets of London. The extremists are taking over London now. We have heard statements like this. We don't allow this to happen. And they want to criminalize, going for protest. They want to criminalize certain slogans. They want to, ban certain movements. Even we have seen recently, they want to ban MCB. They want to ban the Friends of Al-Aqsa. They want to ban the Palestine Solidarity Campaign. They want to ban those organizations. Why? The police have confirmed, that those who protest are the best to protest. They have the minimum, minimum problems. Recorded.
Incidents
of violence. So why do you want to ban them? Isn't that part of the democratic process? Or now you see that democracy is working against you, and hence if democracy is working against you, we are ready to sacrifice democracy, but not to sacrifice what? Not to sacrifice our agenda. Yeah. And this is a shock. Imagine, you know, the prime minister to call for a public, you know, statement or talk after George Galloway won the by-election. Nobody, we all know this is the practice. The prime minister wouldn't call for, you know, a press conference make a statement unless there is a huge thing that is taking place. Okay, what is the huge things? George Galloway won the by-election. Where? Not in Westminster, not in London. Okay, he didn't become the mayor of London. He didn't become, he just in Rochdale. Why is this considered to be a threat for them? And now they are considering this as a threat. Oh no, Muslims are putting the war and the ceasefire, the invasion of Gaza and voting over ceasefire in Gaza, they are putting this in the front of their agenda. Wow.
Yeah.
Why are they doing this? So anyway, so this is the description. Yeah. The analysis of that is they are unable to accept that. As simple as this. Yeah. And forget about democracy, forget about human rights, forget about freedom, forget about even rule of law, forget about all of the British values. Using British values work against our interest. And that's why, you know, that's why what I am saying, if I may say that Muslims and those who want to live independently and they want to enjoy the true, quote-unquote, British values, the true values, they should, you know, stand together in order to say, stop, we will not allow this bullying to take place, yeah? And we will not allow, you to use democracy when it is in your favor and just abandon democracy when it goes against you. You want to go for, you know, the rule of law when it serves you. You want to be tolerant when it serves you, but you want to throw it in the bin when it goes against you. Now, see, if I may say,
sure, sure.
Someone might say that it is a natural struggle, okay, that yani Muslims have to go through it, okay, because yani they are until now seen as the others in Europe, okay? They have to go through that struggle. We need to continue, and we need to develop our institutions, whether institutions to deal with political issues, to deal with legal issues, to deal with media, to deal with financial issues, to deal with social issues. We need to develop our institutions, mature our discourse, mature our strategies in order to deal with these challenges. We shouldn't be pessimistic. We should be optimistic. And I strongly believe that the khair is coming, inshallah.
Inshallah. If I can also add, Sheikh, if you allow me, I think that with the Islamophobia, there's actually a wider way of looking at this. One is when we look at it from just as an inward community perspective, oh, they're coming after us. But I think that, number one, the government is kind of blaming Muslims to hide where everywhere that they are failing, from a welfare perspective, from a justice perspective, from a moral values perspective. And Muslims are the ones who are actually protecting and giving rights to the average British person. They are championing those values of equality and fairness and morality and welfare, everything that you're speaking about, Sheikh. So we've taken that responsibility to give to the people what the government isn't. So I think it's quite a noble position to be in, Sheikh, you know.
Muslims really should be proud of this. And we are always in the front of the spear, you know, in combating any injustice in nationally or internationally.
Yeah, absolutely, Sheikh. Their values that they claim to have, we're the ones who are pushing the agenda for everyone at the end of the day. So, alhamdulillah, and I think we should be able to have that conversation with society at large, that it's not Muslims, it's what we're calling to from a principles basis, that it's your rights that we are actually calling for protection of, not just ours.
Definitely, definitely, yeah. And as you are mentioning, as you are mentioning this, you know, the coming election, the general election is coming soon. And I would like to call upon Muslims to be ready for this election. We have seen that when Muslims came together, they organized themselves in Rochdale, and they have set allies with the right people in Rochdale. They managed to remove a candidate that was not working in their best interest and in the interest of the entire community in Rochdale, and to replace it with someone hopefully will work for the best interest of the entire community in Rochdale, whether Muslims or non-Muslims. So we can make a difference. Yeah, we can make a difference. In some constituencies and in some, I don't want to mention certain individuals here in London, there are some constituencies, certain individuals, in particular one individual, won last elections by 5,000 votes. Those 5,000 votes, many of them are, or most of them are Muslims. So if Muslims voted strategically, this particular individual who is, going to have a weighty individual who is going to be maybe the next or in Labour Party, he can be removed easily.
Yeah.
He can lose easily. Yeah. So, and by the way, I want to reconfirm that the Muslim agenda, is not an agenda for them personally. Is, as you said, Brother Umar, that we are working for what? For the entire society, not just the Muslim community. And we have not worked against the rest of the society, in terms of anything.
I think definitely, Sheikh, has this isn't the time for apathy. The message that you've given, definitely, Sheikh, is about making the effort. We have an opportunity. Those who haven't registered to vote, they should do. Look, there's two kind of examples of this. On one side, we saw the Pakistani elections, which I know has been spoken about, where people came out. They came out, spent the entire day. In this country, it doesn't have to be like that for something they believed in. The other example is you saw, I know it's a bit of an extreme example, Sheikh, but the American soldier who was moved to the point of burning himself alive, and we say that we're feeling upset, we don't like what's going on, and a little bit of effort may be required from us. We can't not make the effort now.
Exactly. And, I have spoken about, Aaron Bushnell, the American soldier who burned himself. And it is really very sad. And I have said it before, I am saying it now, condolences to his family. He was a brave individual. And it is a big loss, to lose such an honorable individual who could not handle it. But I also said that this puts a lot of responsibility upon us as Muslims, yes, to reach out to those honorable, humane individuals and to pass the message of al-Islam to them. Because at the end of the day, we don't want their sacrifice to go in vain. We want them to sacrifice and then to enjoy the outcome of their sacrifice in Jannah. We want to see them in paradise along with us. Those who really worked hard for the betterment of the humanity and in particular the advancement of the Muslim causes. And by the way, Omar, I was in an academic conference yesterday in Cambridge. And, you know, at one point when I was giving my my presentation, I used the word the invasion of Gaza and the war between Gaza. Sorry, I did not use invasion. I used the war between Gaza and the occupation. Just because I'm in academic setup and I don't know who is who there, etc.
Yeah.
So I said the war between Gaza and the occupation. I don't want to mention, okay, the word Israel, because I always say the so-called Israel, etc. And then there were two academics attending and they kind of show that they didn't like what I said. And, you know, I gave a good presentation, etc. People liked it. And, you know, some bit of, presentation, I used some bit of presentation skills, etc. So then I was speaking to those two gentlemen. And one actually, he is a professor. He was born, raised up in England, but he moved to different countries, and now he's a professor in Denmark. Yeah, okay. He's been living in Denmark for the last maybe 15, 16 years. And the other one is a professor, or he is a lecturer in Cambridge. And the lecturer in Cambridge, he said, "No, I didn't like what you said. I said, "Well, I have to use a careful language. I don't want to upset anyone. We are okay. This is not my, you know, my dominion."
Okay. Yeah.
So he said, "No, for me, you have used a soft language. You should have used the word genocide. What is happening in Gaza is self-evident that it is a genocide. This is the minimum to say what is happening in Gaza. The Israelis have said this, and this is common sense. We see it in front of our eyes. So what I'm saying is that, you know, there are so many good people who stand for justice, stand for values. They are not swayed by the interest of the elite or of some politicians. Those people, we have, let me say it, and maybe, you know, later on we can explore on it. We have really to develop our discourse to be able to appeal to those people post Gaza, moment. We do not develop our discourse to appeal for those people, then we will be losing, and we will be losing this great opportunity that might not be repeated. And this is my appeal to all the du'at, especially the English-speaking du'at, to think of ways not only how to, you know, to develop their discourse, but how develop their marketing tools, to develop their ability to reach out, okay, to those non-Muslims, yeah, and in the meantime to develop their discourse in order to appeal to those millions, okay, millions, if maybe, yeah, millions of non-Muslims.
Absolutely, Sheikh. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. It's always amazing. Alhamdulillah, Sheikh. The language of positivity, of being unified, being Ummah-centric, and hereafter-centric never escapes us. If we can finish, if you can indulge me, Sheikh, finally, on we'll come back Ramadan. May Allah Azza wa Jalla allow us to see Ramadan. I remember often every Ramadan you give us some secrets. I remember one year especially you spoke about multiple intentions with charity. That was my secret that Ramadan that I benefited from. If there's one thing that you can give us as a secret to supercharge our Ramadan, what would it be, Sheikh?
Yeah, the first point is, brothers and sisters, set targets. Without setting targets, you will not achieve the maximum of this Ramadan. Set targets in terms of how much you want to fix your relationship with Allah Jalla wa Ala. Yeah, how much you want to get closer to Allah Jalla wa Ala. How much, طبعاً, it might not be quantifiable, but try, okay? How much you can read Quran. Don't say, I will just complete Quran once only during the month of Ramadan. Go for two, go for three. Those who have memorized the Quran, the minimum to go for is three. Those who know Arabic, the minimum to go for is to complete Quran three times during the month of Ramadan. The nights are quite long. You will pray Taraweeh in the masjid. For the brothers, sisters might not be able to pray Taraweeh in the masjid, or even if they manage to pray Taraweeh in the masjid, do more. Do more ibadah. Yeah, brothers, make sure that you are able to pray your five daily prayers in the masjid. Also, brothers, sisters, set targets in terms of sadaqah. Every single day give sadaqah. Every single day. Yeah. Also, brothers and sisters, set targets in terms of improving your akhlaq. I have a bad temper. Okay. I have a bad anger. Okay. I cannot manage my anger.
You're okay, Sheikh. Not too bad, Sheikh.
Yeah. Let me improve myself. That. I have a bad language. Let me improve that. Okay. So these are targets. Every single one should ask himself what deficiencies I have and how should I rectify those deficiencies and what is the target for me. And try to do that with your families, brothers and sisters. So that is maybe the tip for this Ramadan, which is what? Set targets. And don't just set those targets in terms of the listed ibadat. Set targets in for the ibadat. Set targets for your akhlaq as well. Okay? For your akhlaq as well. And we ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to help us to get the best from this month of Ramadan. By the way, one of the targets is to say to yourself, I want this Ramadan to be a different Ramadan, to be better than the previous Ramadan. And this, wallahi, helps the person to push himself to the maximum. May Allah Jalla wa Ala give us life to live for this Ramadan and other Ramadans and give us the barakah of this Ramadan and Ramadans bi'idhnillah ya rabbil alamin.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. Amazing. Set targets. This is really important, inshallah, in all of the different ways. Thank you, everyone, for listening us and joining us. Hopefully, you were able to put up with me as your host. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair, inshallah. You've heard the advice there. This isn't the time to slow down or relax. It's time to set ourselves big targets. Heavy targets, get everyone involved in those targets, both personally and at a community and a societal level. Alhamdulillah for Islam. Alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us with this faith. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us this opportunity. And don't forget the elections as well. Set a target for who you're going to vote for, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.